That was Britney Spears' Till the World Ends, taken from her latest album and appearing on our Phoenix FM playlist. I'm welcoming in the studio with me this morning the lovely Richard McLeod. It's been a while, Richard. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Yes.
Good stuff. I'm just going to shuffle the microphone a little bit closer to you if you can.
Okay.
Or you can move to it, whatever. There we go. Yes, it's been a while. How's this year been treating you so far?
Okay. It's a kind of worrying year because when the council money is affected by how much it's given by the government, that's got a knock-on effect to us because we get about half of our funding from the local council.
So
it's been a worrying time, but currently we're okay.
Yeah.
Brentwood Council, they've been very supportive.
We've got
a year to run with our current agreement, so we're secure for
at least
year anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, the budget came out beginning of April. It's made us all think twice, possibly, about spending money, or made us reorganise the way we handle things on a daily basis, and also affecting some people who get benefits in certain areas, which we're going to come to discuss this morning. How has the budget really affected Citizens Advice? Have you noticed an increase in calls and visits from people who have been affected by these cuts?
Well, funny enough, the number of people that come to see us has been increasing over the last couple of years.
Right.
And last financial year, which was up till March, the number of people that contacted us was up 20%.
Wow.
Which is quite substantial.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were expecting another sort of leap after the budget and round about now, which is, we're in first quarter, financial quarter anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And it hasn't actually materialised as heavily as we thought it would. So I think probably some of the stuff's got a delayed reaction.
Yeah.
Like, if mortgage rate changes, that has quite a quick effect on people not being able to meet their repayments and debt and things like that.
Yeah.
And some other things as well. So I figure that, because we expected a big rise, but it hasn't quite happened yet. So I think it's going to be delayed until perhaps the next few months.
Definitely.
When it'll rise again. So we've got to brace ourselves for that, I think.
So if you're talking about your average day over at Citizens Advice Bureau in Brentwood, you know, how does it roll? How many people do you have come in talking about different problems?
So we have about, to give you the overall picture, we have about 9,000 client contacts a year.
Wow.
So you can average that out. But say, if we look at it just on a day, maybe we'll have 25 people come in the bureau in the morning and the afternoon. On the phone, perhaps we'll answer probably about four an hour, so whatever that works out to, about up to 50 people on the phone. And we'll have maybe two or three email queries. And then we'll have some specialist visits. So as what happens in the bureau is, say you phoned up, you'd get what they call a gateway interview.
Uh-huh.
And that's to work out what your needs are.
Yeah.
And it might result in you getting an appointment at the bureau. So you come and see a general advisor, or you can drop in and it might turn into a general advice session as well. And then that usually solves it and things get sorted out, or at least it starts the process of solving it. If it's a more difficult problem, say, I know you're going bankrupt or something like that, then a specialist at the bureau will see you, and that can go on for a few weeks as well. So there are different levels and different people to see depending on what your
query is.
Yeah.
Excellent. So we've been saying while we're off air about the changes in some benefits that may well affect people here in Brentwood. Now, we mentioned it before the budget got announced and kind of leading up to the Christmas holidays, that changes in incapacity benefits and disability benefits have changed because people are now having to go for a health check, aren't they?
Yeah. What's it called? Incapacity benefit has kind of changed into either job seekers or ESA.
Right.
That's the support allowance. And while that happens, they did a pilot, I think, in Burnley, the government. They tried out checking people's disabilities and seeing if they thought they could go back to work or not.
Yeah.
And they, I think, must have reckoned that was a success in terms of, I think it resulted in a lot of people being told that they are ready for work when they weren't before. And whether that's good or bad, you know, you've got to work out for yourself as it goes forward. But so that's being rolled out. So people go and have a medical, and then by an independent person,
yeah,
and they work out whether the benefits they're getting are right,
are justified, if you like, or yeah,
they should really be trying to get back to work. I mean, I guess the government bill is helping people back to work,
yeah,
but of course part of it is saving money on benefits, so
yes,
there's a kind of balance that may or may not be achieved there.
And will there be regular checks for people with these kind of debilitating elements,
all,
as it were?
First of all, they've got to do the backlog of everybody that's on it, and that will take a couple of years at least.
Yeah.
So the next steps, I don't know what they'll be. They've got to finish the first bit.
Yeah, because surely if someone's on a benefit of sorts and at that particular time they're not able to go back to work, but maybe 6 months down the time, down the road, they're more ready, but is that person then going to have to rely upon their own honesty to say to that job service and say, well, I'm ready to go back to work?
It'll work along the same lines as job seekers allowance, where you regularly have to have a check, or there's a review period, and that kind of stuff. So I imagine that's the way
that's going to continue. And have you noticed a change at all? Have people been coming to you and saying, look, okay, I've been taken off of this benefit now, I've been put onto job seekers allowance, but there isn't a job out there? How do people cope? Because that's obviously going to be a major cut how much money they actually receive as well.
As I was saying earlier, it hasn't actually hit yet.
No.
So we haven't seen that too much because they've just started doing it.
Right.
After the pilot. So, yeah, I would imagine we'll be seeing a lot of that.
Definitely. I mean, today released figures about how much unemployment there is in 16 to 24-year-olds. That's knocking on to nearly a million.
Yeah.
And then what with that and another section of the society who are being put onto job seekers allowance, it's going to be a tough year, I think, for people looking for work, isn't it?
We had a thing, they did a scheme, I guess it was the last government, called Future Jobs Fund, and we took on a couple of people on that scheme.
Oh, right.
And that's where you take, in the age group that you mentioned,
16 to 24,
16, well, it was 18 in our case, but so
similar. It's changed recently, hasn't it? The age limits have altered.
So we take someone on with a view to training them up. You know, usually they've been unemployed for a year or so, the people, the candidates, and getting them to do some work in the bureau.
In the bureau.
We've got one at the moment that ends soon, and we had one before that. And the idea is that they get the confidence back and they get a job. And the first one, that worked really well.
Yeah.
And the second one, we're working on that now.
Yeah.
So that was a really good scheme, because it kind of, if you're on job seekers for a year or so, you start losing the will to want to work.
To live.
At all. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that worked pretty well, but unfortunately it was a pilot and they've cancelled it now, so I don't know if they're going to bring something else out like that, but I think that's particularly good for young people who've never really experienced work to get them back into it.
I think that's half the trouble, isn't it? And then they get caught up in education because they think, well, okay, I'll just go back to college or just go back to university, and then you get a situation where actually you're overqualified for anything.
Yeah.
You can't get a job in Asda or whatever supermarket you want to, because they look at you and go, you've got a master's degree in biochemical science.
Yeah.
Why do you want to be a shop assistant?
Yeah.
But really all they are is actually desperate for a job and the need to feel that they've got some sort of worth in the place. It's a tough old time out there, so I think actually you're going to start seeing an increase in phone calls and visits. How does it work financially, obviously, because you're saying that it's sometimes run by volunteers over at Citizens Advice, isn't it? And you get advisors come in, you get funding through government. How do you start raising money then to support those other services?
The way it works is that I guess more than 50% of the people in the bureau are volunteers.
Yeah.
So for example, we've got about 50 volunteers part-time. They do two shifts a week, which are 4-hour shifts. And there's a staff of about 8 that run the bureau. So, and of course you've got to pay for the light and the electric and the computers and all that kind of
stuff. Definitely.
So, as I touched on earlier, we get about half of our money from the council.
Yeah.
And that helps, obviously. That's a good starting point. But we have to go out and find the other half in other ways. So, fundraising, or we go out and do advice sessions at local companies, which they pay us for, or we go and do home visits in conjunction with Essex County Council, which they pay us for.
I mean,
not a lot of money, but at least it covers our costs to do that. And, you know, it gives a benefit to the clients. And other things like that, like we've tried doing visits at the children's centre. We did a pilot for that.
Yeah.
And that gets a very different kind of person coming to it than if we go to a workplace. So it gets at the different parts of the community. So, we have to work out. And we do court desks, which is a thing where repossessions happen.
Yes.
it's and that's going to increase, I'm sure.
Definitely.
Unfortunately. So on Tuesdays, there's a repossession court in Colchester.
Right.
Visit, and then on Fridays, there's a repossession court in Basildon, which we visit.
Right.
And what happens is that quite often people are not prepared for seeing the judge. Usually it's about, I don't know, one of the big banks or a mortgage company want to get the house back so they can sell it.
Yes.
Haven't been paid for it for, I don't know, 6 months, something like that.
Yeah.
And what we do is work with the client to find out how we could ease their way, if they have to sell, how they can work out what they're going to do, and give them some time to work out that move. And that makes a big difference to the clients.
Definitely.
They're usually completely unprepared. So if we didn't go, they'd just get repossessed straight off.
And left.
If you make an argument for them, or if you work out what steps they've got to take and they tell the judge that, then that gives them a bit of time too. And sometimes you can get them out of repossession.
Yeah. It's not always easy. No. Yeah.
But so that's quite a good role, and there's some money from the Legal Services Commission that they pay us for doing that.
That's fantastic. And actually, if there is anyone out there listening at the moment and they are struggling to pay their mortgage, it's well worth getting in touch with you guys, because you can start working on budgets, how they can speak to their banks and come to some form of agreement so they don't actually lose their house, which must be devastating, actually, to actually go through that.
Getting to it early enough.
Yeah. Definitely, especially as benefits are on the cut and unemployment's on the rise. It's not looking a pretty picture out there, is it?
Not really.
Should we cheer ourselves up a little bit? I think we should. Right, we'll have a little rest and then we'll come back and let you know exactly how you can either get in touch with the Citizens Advice Bureau, or even if you fancy doing a bit of volunteering work. After all, David Cameron's harping on about the big society. See how you can give it a little bit back to your local area.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM. The Breakfast Show on Phoenix FM in association with The Hair Company, as featured in the Good Salon Guide.
This morning I'm joined by Richard McLeod from the Citizens Advice Bureau. We've just been talking about how obviously changes in the budget are going to start affecting residents of the local area, what with also Billericay Citizens Advice Bureau coming to an untimely end and having to join up with Basildon, which is a real shame actually for citizens of Billericay, isn't it? But if you are someone possibly in need of a little bit of assistance, Citizens Advice is a free service for you here in Brentwood, and you can get in touch with them by giving them a call, 08444 770808. You can pop along to their offices, which is between 8 and 12 Crown Street in Brentwood, and they open Monday to Friday between 10 and 4. So what's the plans then for the rest of this year, fundraising and events for assisting people in the local area? Are you doing some of your outreach work out to parishes as well?
Yeah, interestingly, we did parish outreach, as we call it, funny enough.
Yeah.
Whereby we go out to the village halls and things and do 3-hour sessions for people to visit.
Yes.
That was funded by Essex County Council.
Uh-huh.
They gave us about £7,000 for the year for that, to cover expenses, really. But that's ended, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
So that's one of the cuts that we
had to come in.
Can't do anything about. So we've stopped that in March.
Yeah.
I mean, if it comes back, we'll start again. But
yeah,
we haven't. I mean, Billericay closing is an indication of how that government cut in funding
has
started to affect bureaus. And that'll affect us. I mean, Billericay clients can come to us, but not for specialist advice, because obviously we reserve that. We've got to do some stuff for Brentwood.
Definitely.
And other bureaus in the area, I guess, will start to pick up. But yeah, they should really, I guess, be picked up by Basildon.
Basildon, yeah.
And Wickford. They were three together, Basildon, Wickford and Billericay were one bureau. So I guess that's...
Well, I suppose it's because they come under a different council remit, don't they? Obviously, Billericay comes under Basildon Council's kind of arm and umbrella, whereas obviously we're under Brentwood, which is a different council altogether.
To be fair, Brentwood, we should do Brentwood first,
Brentwood people.
We'll do what we can if people come to us.
Definitely. And we were actually mentioning off air that maybe we should go back to the old days of Citizens Advice Bureau, where you go around in a caravan. It's a nice thought.
it's interesting that... people don't sort of realise how big the operation is.
Yeah.
Our office, we've got 9 rooms, a waiting room with 15 seats in it.
Yeah.
We've got 25 computers and a server, and we run 4 phone lines. So it's kind
of a small business.
Yeah, it is, really.
Yeah.
Fit those in the caravan might be tricky. Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm thinking more motorhome or one of those nice big trailers that the Hollywood stars loiter in while they're waiting to go on set, darling.
Interestingly, Tendering Bureau have recently had trouble with funding as well.
Yeah.
And, I think it's a major supermarket, I won't mention the name, has provided them with 3 porta cabins in the car park.
So that's a novel idea.
Not far away from those.
Not far away. And I tell you what, with technology the way it is, you'd be amazed at what kind of service you can get in a caravan. Interestingly enough, hubby's away on tour at the moment, and they've got Wi-Fi in their van. So they could be anywhere and they'll be on the internet. So, you know, I think a porta cabin could well be an option for Billericay. Maybe any businesses in Billericay willing to give them a bit of space in the back of the shop, or maybe even, you know, give them a room in their car park for a porta cabin. I think it's a fab idea. Mm. Well, Richard, as always, thank you for popping by.
That's all right.
If someone is interested in volunteering, just before we go, actually, do they contact you on the same telephone number?
Yeah,
is that the best way of doing
it?
Yeah,
there's an option on it that says if you want to volunteer, and you just leave your name and number and where you're from, we'll get back to you.
Who's the gov? She's the gov. Shut it.
Wake up to The Sweeney on Breakfast from 7 till 11, Monday to Friday on Phoenix 98 FM. Start your day with the latest local news, travel and weather, with a look at the sports pages, top 10 films, music, birthdays, interviews and a whole lot more, in association with the hair company Crown Street Brentwood.
Breakfast with The Sweeney, Monday to Friday from 7 till 11. Go, go, go!